Welcome to Southpaws, episode 473, The Spine Line. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I've returned.
Oh my gosh, a Chakat. A wild Chakat has joined the podcast for the first time in a while. She's still here, guys. See, we told you.
It's been a mix of health and work has been almost literally killing me. I have been working anywhere from 10 to 12 hour days a good chunk of the week.
Goodness. Ugh.
Well, part of it is because I take off a couple hours midday to go do doctor shit. So it's kind of like working a split shift.
Oh, yeah. And that's so just running around like that's just exhausting.
And on top of all that, we're just really backlogged. So I would have been working overtime anyways, but my shifts have been ending even later just because it's getting pushed back with, doctor's appointment crap.
Yeah. Well, that sucks. I decided to not cancel my PTO this week that I had scheduled for Method for our meet, which would have been this weekend. So I was off today, and I'm off tomorrow, and Monday is a holiday. So I'm going to use that to catch up on stuff with For Planet, maybe actually take a day or part of a day off and just relax or read or something. But
I mean, that sounds like a plan. I mean, you still have to have a little bit of time off because even if you're working from home, you're still working and you need to do something to just chill.
Right. Yeah. I got this time in September, and then I've got, I think, a couple of days off requested in October for ACFI. And then we got 4-day Thanksgiving break in November and 3 or 4 days in a row for Christmas in December. So I figure with that gives me like a 3 or 4 day weekend every month for the rest of the year. And that should be enough to just sort of, have a little break once a month just to mental health. Yeah, you're right.
What do you mean it's September, Fuzz? I thought it was the start of June. How long has it been?
It's March.
March, yes. Well, speaking of other conventions that have been canceled, surprisingly, Classic Game Fest in Austin has been canceled. Wow. Who knew?
Oh, that was supposed to be in October, right?
October 10th and 11th. They pushed it back, and then they were just like, actually, no. We don't get to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, not a surprise, but also it was probably just force majeure. So,
yeah.
But they did bother to send me an email because I attended one of their things once in like Plano and have gotten on their mailing list ever since. So, as you do.
Like you do.
Yep.
I hate how when you order anything online, anything ways to stay, you're going to end up like getting emails forever.
Yeah. I was going to say, the one that abuses me the most is, like Saverin, I use a CPAP machine. And there is a website, it's like the CPAPshop.com, that I'll order replacement supplies from. And I don't know, and like most of these supplies are like, replace these every 6 months, replace this once a year, that kind of thing. So I don't know how quickly they think I'm blowing through CPAP supplies, but I swear to God, like 2 or 3 times a week, I get an email from them. It's like 15% off of tubing, And it's like, guys, I have one CPAP, but I don't have like one per lung or something like that,
Don't you have a selection of masks? Do you have a selection of CPAPs you cycle through and then run them through the washer? Is that not how it works?
Yeah, but they're disposable. The actual CPAP, not just the mask, right?
Yeah, you just chunk the whole thing.
Yeah, you use it for a week and then it's gone, then you bill your insurance another like $800.
I mean, I've had mine for like 7 years at this point, and it still works, so like I'll not replace it until it dies, but then again, like it was $700 something even with insurance at the time, so.
Oh, wow. I don't remember how much I paid for mine, but they have to do another sleep test every few years just to see if you're at the same level or whatnot, and they were like, yeah, we're going to adjust your level, and then you're like, oh, we don't handle your model of CPAP, so we'll get you a new one. So I guess every, like, 3-4 years or something like that, you can qualify for a new one under your insurance.
Yeah, the doctor that handled that for me, though, retired, and then I never got a new doctor. So, yeah, that was like I didn't have a GP for a long time because my doctor retired, and then I got a new GP, and then that doctor retired. So I have sort of
stop picking old doctors.
Well, the thing is, this one, her name was Dr. Kwan, and because she's East Asian, she looked like he was in her 30s. Turned out she was like in her 60s and retirement age. But, you know, whatever. So we're here. We're back. It's also pumpkin spice season. You know, hit yourself up with some pumpkin spice combos. Available never, because apparently they're not real.
Yeah, but the pumpkin spice dessert boar's head hummus is... It's an abomination.
Yeah, that's not like dessert hummus by itself is absolutely terrible. Like I got made the mistake and got chocolate dessert hummus once, and I opened some and was like, "Well, that was $3.50, yoink," and just yeeted that into the trash because Panther was not going to touch it.
Yeah, so you know, blow a fennec, you know, suck on a pumpkin spice doggo.
Now with extra scream, so. This past week has been pretty interesting and entertaining in a, like, watching a slow-motion train wreck sort of way. So, Shiva, I have to ask, as a Chakat whose spine both goes vertical and horizontal, can you consent?
I believe so. I have several times.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'm pretty sus, though, you know. He's got a bent center of gravity.
I have to ask Shiva, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Yes, okay. Sarah's brought me into some of the lulz part of it, so I know it has to do with furry life online, and there's, some gatekeeping going on there. At least it sounds like gatekeeping to me.
We have a new meme format.
Yes. How sinful is your spine is a big topic that someone gifted us this week. So at the end of last week's episode, we were like, Furry Life Online, I've not heard about that, but go check it out. And so people did. Unfortunately, things have gone a little weird, but then also has kind of clarified certain aspects, but is still full of Puritan Zoomers in a way. So, to start out, this website, Furry Life Online, has apparently been around for about a year or so, and had fuck all in terms of users. Because a mouthy 17-year-old got mad that FurAffinity wasn't going to ban somebody over some admittedly weird art that they drew, they were like, well, I'm going to go to another website, and found Furry Life Online and started yelling about it to their followers, and a few people followed, and as it does, people rushed over to the new site and then started making demands upon the leadership. And the demands basically came down to, we must ban Feral Not Safe for Work from the website entirely. And, you know, it's their website. They can do that. It's entirely their call. So Feral, in this particular parlance, is any character this quadrupedal. So that's everything from Pokemon to certain Digimon to Balto to the characters from The Lion King to Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, but also including dragons, My Little Pony characters, griffins, and tars. And so they put this to a public vote on their Not Safe for Work forum. The epic thread was closed after 20 pages of people just knifing each other in the comments.
How did Tars get looped into this?
Because Tars have animalistic lower halves. Because
but their top half is sentient, clearly.
They were still included in the poll, though.
Four on the floor means dick no more.
The poll as put forth to the people, of which 2,071 people voted, so it's not like they have a huge user base at this point. It's like, should Flow ban the upload of Feral Not Safe for Work content? 56.02% saying yes, and 43.98% saying no. So 1,107 to 869 people. That's not exactly a blowout in terms of voting, and only gets more contentious as we get further down the list. Because should this ban include characters that are centaurs or similar? So, Shiva, should we ban Chakats? Well, 11.5% of the respondents, 227 people, actually said yes to this, with 86.49, 1,709 people saying no.
Well, Tars have always been a little bit squicky for some, and that kind of represents the squicky that it's always been there.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Those are people that just don't like Chakats anyway, so they're like, I can get rid of Chakats? Sure, without any logical... any tour without any real logical rationale for other than I don't like this.
The third question is, should this ban include Pokemon and Digimon personas that have been anthropomorphosed? Which, that's very unclear, because were they going to try to ban Anthro-Pokemon? Because that didn't make a lot of sense. But again, 11.7% said yes, 86.3% said no. Should this ban include mythical beings that did not exist in reality, such as feral dragons, griffins, etc.? And on this, 21.76% said yes. 430 people said yes, we should ban dragons. Dragons, you are not welcome on this website. And, of course, 75%.
Or at least not in naughty form.
Yeah, but again, you're a furry website that's going to include not safe for work, so, you know, this is the delineation they were trying to make. But most people said no. And the most interesting one to me, which was really funny because at the time of the polls, like the initial snapshot I took, the ban on characters based on My Little Pony, the yes was actually winning. But by the end of the poll, it had changed, so it was 45.3% yes, 51.5% no, with a margin of 3.24 in the other category. Because each of these had other category, but they were like 2% in most cases. It was like 2%, 2%, 3%, and 3.24% for the four sub-questions. And I really honestly hoped for the peak chaos of it all if the yes plus other would have eclipsed the no, because that would have only resulted in people screaming about the goddamn centrists who wouldn't pick a side. So this, you know, resulted in a huge amount of consternation on the Not Safe for Work feedback forum, like people being like, well, why don't we ban gore? Why don't we ban non-con tentacles? Why don't we ban hypnosis and TF? Because sometimes people get TF'd into to dogs and sheep and cows and stuff. And those were, you know, user-made polls and locked down fairly quickly, but that just shows that, like, once the door is open to, like, vote people off the island, people are going to keep taking that opportunity. At least that's how I feel. And going back a little bit on just the title episode, the spine line, somebody made this brilliant, and I say brilliant in a deeply sarcastic tone, chart, which basically was like, human, straight center of gravity, and it has a green line going vertical. Now, that your center of gravity is a point. I'm pretty sure they're just trying to be like the angle of your spine, but they use center of gravity for this, and as a result, created a massive meme. Neko, straight center of gravity, and it was just like some dude with ears and a tail. Plantigrade furry, straight center of gravity. Incidentally, they use Lugosi from this one, and at this point, and in the anime, he's like 17, so good job there.
Well, the whole thing says nothing about age and nothing about ability to consent.
Yeah,
which it's is just, like, it's like, you've made children fuckable, but dogs not. And it's like, those should both be, like, not. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, then the digigrade furry, straight center of gravity. But then fantasy creature number one, bent center of gravity, and they have a yellow line because they're a big snarly werewolf. And apparently, the digitigrade furry that they use, they just, like, this is all stolen art, where they just, like, took the outline, silhouetted it, and used it. So, like, someone found out their art was being used in this chart and was like, oh, fantastic, I'm glad to know that my fursona can consent. Ooh, but, like, seriously. Fantasy creature number one apparently is, like, a werewolf from the Harry Potter series. And then fantasy creature number two is either Dead by Daylight or some video game. Fantasy creature number two, bent center of gravity, always hunched. So if it's a big snarly werewolf or like the werebear from WoW, Shiva, the formerly
terrible
big bear thing, that was like Harkness test required. Never mind the fact that like if it's a big snarly werewolf, they're gonna turn back into a human at some point. And their spine will magically become straight, and they can consent. But if they're a werewolf, you need to make sure that you do a Harkness test for all 14 of them.
I'm going to also point something out here that also irritated me about this meme, is that for a few of them it says Harkness test required, and then for one it's like, no, this is an animal, and for other it's okay. But the thing is, Harkness test required for all of them, because the Harkness test is not just...
It's not
are they an animal or not? It's not based on their spine. It literally is, are they mature for their species? Are they intelligent and have the ability to consent? And that isn't covered by the angle of their spine at all.
It's a very bizarre conception on consent in this particular, in like fantasy stuff, yeah. But this was just one particular person's very bizarre take. And
I really want to know how old the person was. Like, they've been likely shielded from backlash because pretty much everything I've seen has been a screen cap of it, but which is good because they would be run into the ground. But I'm really curious how old they are. Is this some 20-year-old dumbass that joined the fandom like last week? You know, I don't know. I'm really curious.
It did provide us a lot of very funny, like, takeoffs of it. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great new meme format.
Where it's the various creatures from the thing. Human. I know I'm human. Okay with consent. Dog. Came from the Norwegians? How long were you alone with that dog? Blood test needed. Norris's head. I don't think he's up to it, fellas. You gotta be fucking kidding. And Blair thing. Yeah, fuck you two. No, that's the thing. And like the spine's all like all lined over.
I love the Animorphs cover.
Yeah. Very morally questionable. I mean, we've gotten away from the idea of squick factor. Where, you know, we don't have squick. It squicks me. It's not my thing. It's, no, we have to find a reason to couch whatever the thing is we don't like in social justice language and make it a moral issue. I'm not a fan of Vore, but I'm not going to go saying that people who like Vore are all latent murderers who want to be cannibals, right?
I'm sorry. If you ever watch Silence of the Lambs, you have to go to jail now.
You know, if what you consume is what you condone, I've listened to a lot of episodes of Last Podcast on the Left, and let me tell you, I will apparently kill, eat, or fuck anything that moves and or abduct you and probe you to make hybrid babies. Yeah. Because clearly I condone everything that is discussed on Last Podcast on the Left. And since I listened to an episode on John Posadas from QAnon Anonymous, we're talking about the history of Posadism, the really far out there theory of Trotskyism that was popular in the 1970s and was big about aliens, dolphins, and nukes. Well, let me tell you about my new political theory. So ultimately, like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. But trying to make it into this massive moral imperative is bizarre to me. And like, I'd made some choice screen caps from the 20-page locked thread. And like, I eventually gave up after about like 10 or 12 because I was getting brain damage. Like, I was like, bad news, people, you are animals. I think Pokemon are definitely intended to be animals. However, Digimon are essentially an intelligent alien race who are not captured by or bound to humans. Certain Digimon could be seen as cub, which is wrong, but others I say are okay, e.g. Renamon. MLP is definitely not okay. Centaurs, mermaids, Naga are fine considering the human aspect, but again, griffins and feral dragons are animals.
Never mind, in many cases they're fully sentient and...
Well, I mean,
dragons... years old.
I mean... I don't think I've really ever seen any popular media featuring dragons that have them as, like, this brainless antagonistic force. Like, Reign of Fire, 2008, the shitty movie, but, like, dragons in fantasy and illustrations are always shown to be, like, intelligent at minimum, if not immensely powerful beings. But, you know, whatever. Then, of course, there are people who are like, hey, dragons, if your persona is so great, why isn't it a human? With the tweet being like, what exactly does the feral porn bring to the table that the anthroporn possibly couldn't? What's it about the animal being on four legs that suddenly elevates it for the viewer who wants to keep feral porn around so badly? I cannot think of any answer beyond it reminds the viewer that this is an animal. That is the crux of the problem for me. Even if the feral characters can speak and consent, if they are basically people, then why don't you draw them anthro? Why did they need to be on all fours so badly for this picture? If they're a person, why not draw them as a human? Because my fursona's a dragon. But, you know, galaxy brain. Then, of course, it got a little bit further. I think when it comes to, let's just say, porn, because that's what Not Safe for Work dwells in, feral porn is so uncomfortable to see. Like, I have no issue with more feral-like anthros, as in digicurate accurate paws and whatnot. But once you start drawing porn with anatomically correct dog dick and other features, then what's to stop someone from getting off to the real thing? Like, sure, you can say it's just fantasy, but the line is so fucking thin to be best not even go near it. When it comes to mythical slash fictional creatures, that's a bit the same. If you're drawing anatomically correct horse slash bull dick on a centaur, minotaur, then the door is right over there. Not safe for work, I've seen, for the most part, for Pokemon, it's just the human genitals, and that's fine. Obviously, there's definitely need for talk about drawing porn of the baby stages, though, because that should be illegal. I'm not even going to mention my opinion on MLP porn, since that should be obvious at this point.
So, did we just cancel some ancient Greeks that drew, like, Minotaur?
Yeah, I gotta say that King Minos of Crete, that's pretty sus.
Well, Zeus is pretty sus.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Loki.
Yeah.
Loki turning into a mare, getting banged by a horse, having a weird spider foal. Oh, you know, damn Loki, you're canceled. Sorry, Tom Hiddleston.
Spider foal. I'm gonna stop right there.
But then it's just like, oh, now we've gotten to the non-human dicks on non-human characters is now sus. Uh-oh. You know, danger zone there.
And, like, to take it to its just weird extreme, and we talked about this even before this, is some of these Puritan Zoomers are tweeting things like, I don't know, Maws and Paws are pretty sus.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, if you like... No, this is if you're into, like, Paws, like the really detailed paw art, or if you're into, like, Vore... So you're really into, like, the muzzles with all the teeth and the tongue and all that stuff. I saw another screen cap where somebody was like, if you like any part of a furry because it's like what it looks like on an animal, that's pretty sus. And it's like, well, then why are they even fucking furries at this point? Like, if you like furry for the aesthetic, then you think something is kind of cool or interesting about the half-human, half-animal form. And they're now we've got people basically saying, well, if you like paws, you know, what's to stop you from, like, licking a real dog's paw or something? It's just...
Well,
it's so dumb. It is...
would have a shower, whereas Adam just steps in the mud. I mean, there is a big difference there. So, to Fuzz, to really, like, reach the peak, like, we're just going to, like, point at the mountaintop way over there because we're still building up there. But the tweet that I saw that I had to post the Galaxy Brain meme was like, to me, any kind of furry porn is zoophilic in some sort. Humans should keep their fantasies on humans.
Oh.
And there was a whole bunch of people agreeing with them. To then I used my one-click block add-on and went click, 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 because fuck you. Seriously.
Those are just basically anti-furry in general.
And the thing is, these kids are all like in their early 20s at best. So it's not like we're dealing with cooked adults here. Moving on. The takes get spicier. Clearly, Flo should ban Feral Not Safe for Work. The fact that you're even putting it to a vote is a red flag. In what universe is it okay to sexualize non-sentient animals? Don't even try to argue that your character is sentient. That logic is just as flawed as my Kubsona is 300 years old, so it's okay. If you have to explain why your character can consent, then your character is a sexualized version of entities which cannot. Pokemon Sonas get a pass? Really, guys? They're literally based on proto-sentient children's cartoon characters that have been trained by their masters to fight one another for sport! Would it be okay to sexualize an enslaved fighting dog provided it had the intelligence of a 10-year-old? Cause Arcanine? That's not how Pokemon are in the canon at all. Also, you're down to just the Sona part? Like, even if they're Anthrosona? Okay. Mythicals are risky, too. Griffins are pretty much just an animal. If you have to ask whether or not your fursona is based off a species that can consent, then your fursona is likely problematic in origin.
What the fuck do you mean griffins are just an animal? Like, haven't they always spoken and had societies and shit like that in pretty much every media that they're in?
If you're talking about your fursona, if your fursona is based off a species that can consent, well, Savrin's a finnick. Finnicks are little, like, foot-long, huge-eared scream foxes that can't consent, but Savrin, the 37-year-old Fennec who's had that same fursona for goddamn 20 years at this point, certainly can. Like, they lost the whole track immediately.
Yeah.
They skewed just all the way into anti-furry.
Yeah, and these are people that are trying to steer the moral center of the fandom. Shut the fuck up.
They might as well just exit the fandom because at this point, they're not part of it.
Yeah, these kids, they can stay on their website, but don't fucking talk to me. Like, one of the nice things, though, about this website is you can click on the person's forum name, and it takes you to their profile, which kind of narcs on you if you visit their profile and it's like, oh, recent visitors, because if they've included a link to their Twitter, I can just go there and block them for being stupid. It's still going, though, guys. Hang on. So, don't even get me started on anatomically correct genitals on furs. How do you even know how to render that stuff? This needs to be banned from this platform, too. Anyone who gets wet looking at renders of an actual horse's penis should get counseling. That's not healthy, even for a furry. Most of all, please don't put these topics to a debate slash vote. It implies a shameful level of complacency on this topic. The influences behind the furry fandom are dodgy enough as it is. I'm really hoping Flo can distance our community from its zoophilic influences. At this point, you need to stop being a furry and go do something more wholesome, like landmine hopscotch.
Like, if you do all this, what are you actually doing? This isn't the fandom anymore.
And even then, like, you're making a near 50-year-old fandom try to fit in this box that you've come up with. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks, but only if they consent.
The people complaining about Fur Affinity are younger than Fur Affinity in some cases, right?
It was founded in 2005, so I guess Fur Affinity is 15.
I thought it was a little older than that. Anyways.
No. Ajax and I were talking about it the other day, and how every new site is, like, maybe they don't build themselves this way, but people talk about them as if they're an FA killer. And the same with social media. You know, will Google Plus be the Facebook killer?
Well, and like the Twitter killer.
And the reason that's not going to happen is in the early 2000s, furries would post on DeviantArt and SheezyArt and YGallery, and then DA is just like whatever, but SheezyArt specifically said stop posting furries. And YGallery was like 70% furries and the rest anime yaoi boys. And they were like, stop posting furries. And furries literally said, we'll make our own website with Blackjack and Horsecock. And that's how Fur Affinity was formed. They're like, okay, fine. We're going to make a fucking furry gallery site like these other sites where we could just post furry shit. And everyone migrated to there, and it's been there ever since.
I mean, we're not caping for Affinity here. FA has plenty of its own fucking issues and sucks ass in a lot of ways. Like, I don't use FA because they don't really have, like, tag blacklisting. They don't have tags, like, mandatory either. I primarily use it to fave art that I see linked elsewhere. But, you know, we're still talking about Flow here.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, all these other sites have come up since Fur Affinity has been around, and when FA was formed, it had the advantage of every fucking furry that wanted to follow artists in their profiles signed up to it. So you're looking at every fucking furry is on this website, and like six other sites have tried to replace it. And it's like, unless Fur Affinity actually goes down for like a year, because it's been down before for like a few months.
Yeah.
But unless it's down for like a year or two, you're not going to get a mass exodus. And now that there's like a whole bunch of other sites, you're not going to get a mass user base on one of them. And this comes up a lot in like in discussions with writers and artists about where to post your media. Because I'm on like a couple of like furry business telegrams and writing group telegrams and stuff like that. And they're like, you know what? So furry is still like the best platform for writing, but FA is still held far the best platform for the number of views. And like somebody pointed out that they had posted a story like 3 years ago to one of the not so furry or Fur Affinity, one of the other ones. It posted a story like 3 years ago, and it had 7 views in 3 years.
Jesus.
And now compare that to FA and So Furry. And, you know, as we know, So Furry was YifStar back in the day and focused on stories. And so it made its own little niche, and that's kind of how So Furry has hung in there. So, like, if I was an artist, I'd set up shop on FA, So Furry, I would have a Twitter, and that would be pretty much where I would spend all my time at this point. Things might be different in 5 years, who knows? But
I mean, that's
for the last 5 or 10 years, those have been the places to go.
I mean, 5 years, that's asking a lot, right?
Well, 5 years ago, I would have said you better have a Tumblr if you want to get your art out there. But, you know, Tumblr is fucking come and gone and burned out in the time that FA has been around.
Oh, yeah. Then we got two more screencasts, and we can actually look at what their final policy is. So the next one is, no, Pokemon sentience is not clear except in a few cases like Mewtwo, who should still not be sexualized because how old is he anyway? Plus, in the Pokemon universe, humans have an extremely exploitative relationship with Pokemon. It should be impossible to reconcile sexualizing any Pokemon ethically, considering they're literally front and center in an economy based on their capture and brutalization. The whole concept of Pokemon is imaginary, that's true, but it's based off a reimagined version of real-world slavery and animal cruelty. Should we really draw dicks on them? And then the reply is, as someone who really likes Pokemon, I really disagree with the idea it's reimagined slavery and animal cruelty. The Pokemon do like to battle, as far as I'm aware, and Pokemon who don't want to battle aren't made to, and if you make them fight, you're seen as an awful traitor. I agree with your power dynamic points, but I find it somewhat insensitive to call it reimagined slavery, considering real-world connotations. So, I mean, this is the person that takes, like, the darkest fucking possible view of Pokemon. Like, people joke about transferring Pokemon to the professor, haha, how did they get the Pokemon candy in Pokemon Go? It's a fucking video game, right? But I was like, yeah. Oh, we're really getting into the weeds now. Like, you know, it's not that Pokemon aren't ethical because their spine line is wrong, or that they're based on animals. No, it's because it's dogfighting and slavery.
This is what happens when you let the forum posts go on for too many pages.
Yeah, this got to 20 pages before they locked it down. And then the final one is, I already asked two times, no answer, which is probably an answer in itself, but I'll try again. Do you think that the Lion King not safe for work artwork is zoophilia? And then the quote is, no one is answering probably because I got lost in the sea of comments. The act of zoophilia? No. Content that caters to zoophiles and shows a concerning interest in animal bodies in a sexual way? Yes. You shouldn't go to jail for it, but it has no place in our space. So the good news is, if you ever wanted to fuck Nala, you only go to horny jail. And that was five screen caps of some of the deepest dumb shittery that I saw in that one thread. And, like, there's been a bunch of threads since then of people just, like, screaming about various things. And honestly, I've had to stop looking because it's just like, wow, this will really make me hate some people. And why do that? I'm not going to use the website. I don't use it. I don't use FA. So, whatever. But there are some very broad opinions. And that, like, you don't normally encounter because, well, I don't normally go on forums. But, like, this contentious topic really brought out people from the woodwork. And a lot of them, again, are very young. So, they did ultimately make a decision on their policy. So, after taking time to create and consider a poll of user opinion, staff have come to the conclusion that we must enforce a ban on feral not-safe-for-work content. In order to best serve the results of the poll and our own views as a team, we believe it most useful at the moment to ban all depictions of real-life animals in porn. This is directly in line with our current policy regarding cub content as well, as we believe there are some minimum standards necessary to protect our user base from harmful paraphilias. What is a real-life animal, you say? And what circumstances of art art of it be removed from the website? Real life animals defined as any creature found in our world, recently extinct or still present, in their natural bodily shape. Even if these real life animals are weird colors or supposedly capable of speech / transformation / whatever cool magical stuff in their individual lore, please do not depict their animal forms in sexual situations. Realistic animals / creatures in TV and movies are included in this, i.e. the Lion King, Balto, etc. They have banned the Lion King from furry life online, as their animal forms are not.
You can't feel the love tonight. No. Feeling the love tonight is pretty sus.
It's very banned. As their animal forms are not meaningfully changed in any way in their media, and they're still actively acknowledged as real life animals, as per the examples lion, wolf, dog, etc. Even if a real life animal is not given a real life quality, such as wings or horns, so long as they retain their natural body shape, they are still effectively animals. Not all animals are quadrupedal, so we cannot define animals thusly. Think kangaroos or snakes. This is why we are focusing on natural body type instead of trying to make an arbitrary judgment that doesn't even fit everything in the animal kingdom. So they discarded the spine line. We understand animal characters can have a lot of different personal lore to them, and that lore can suggest a great many different things about their origin, sentience, capability, but we want to be as precise as possible regarding specific intolerance of animals in sexual situations. Prohibited sexual situations could be blah 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 blah. Feral animals, including such contact with each other or with androids / humans, fantasy creatures, etc. So you can't fuck a dragon.
Wait, no, you can, right? Because it's not a real animal in our world.
Wait,
right?
Actually, no. Yes, you. So
because that goes to my next point. If you want to draw a horse fucking picture, stick a horn on it. Now it's a unicorn.
Oh, but wait, because
oh shit. Okay,
what isn't a real life animal? High fantasy creatures such as dragon, so you can fuck the dragon. Furry anthro right. creatures with animal traits. We mean anthro in the traditional sense within the fandom. Human-like animal person with clear human-looking traits. We know anthropomorphic is a broader term than just how a creature looks, so we're focusing pretty specifically. Cartoony anthro characters. Not everyone likes to draw every character with absolute anatomical correctness, after all. Mythological monsters. With discretion. So, if your monster, it's tad too horny, watch out, Minotaur. Aliens are okay. Cryptids are okay. But wait! Fantasy media IPs like Pokemon, Digimon, completely fabricated creatures with unique lore. This includes established fantasy series like My Little Pony, the adult characters only, which, fine, because they are a unique species with unique lore. So, if
wait, you're quadruped... No Lion King, but yes, My Little Pony.
Correct.
Okay.
The hell?
So
I need a fucking flowchart to figure... Like, if I was a mod, God forbid, I would need a flowchart to figure out what shouldn't be fucking banned on this.
So, if you draw an orange horse with an apple in her mouth showing off her horse pussy, that's banned. But if you give it a butt tattoo, blonde mane, and a red bow on the tail, that's just Applejack, bitch. What you gonna do? Animal media IPs with their canon forms are changed into a free anthro character. Currently, we're also choosing to include dinosaurs in this category. This is not because they weren't real, but because they're so extinct that there is no modern creature that replicates them, and no human in history ever interacted with one. So you can't fuck a mammoth because humans coexisted with those, but dinosaurs, they're okay because humans never coexisted. It's so dumb. Anyways, we will not be moderating the features of these fantasy creatures that are clearly not real-life animals. Furry anthros with animal genitalia, knots, etc. will not be subject to a ban. We understand there are a myriad of different kinds of characters, many of which bear ostensibly no resemblance to real-life creatures that borrow some animal traits. This is fine, as we cannot pick and choose which specific traits are too animal in a similar vein, though some fantasy media creatures like Pokemon may be clearly inspired by animals. We cannot discount that their lore is so diverse they do not even share names with real-life creatures.
By lore, Pikachu has a 19-inch horse cock with a knot.
That's the staff policy. The rest of it's just a few paragraphs of, like, reasoning behind it. So, there we go. That's their policy. This is what they spent dozens of pages fighting over and left holes big enough to drive a truck through. Which left nobody happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, a good compromise leaves nobody happy, right?
Exactly. And to that point, Pokemon are supposed to be okay when somebody I know had a Pokemon.
Oh, I saw that. Render. Like a model of a, yeah, like a render of a detailed Pokemon pussy or something. Oh, was, ball sack.
Yeah, it was like they're doing a CG sculpt of a Sylveon with a fat nut sack, and I'm like, all right, whatever. But that got booped off the website briefly because the mods. The other thing, so like that's been the big point of contention, and it's been funny to watch because it's just like, guys, you're giving into this weird moral panic. You're like acting as if the International Zoo is lurking under every single fucking rock cranny and like, oh no, that anthro character's got a non-human dick. Is it grooming? Like, no. Please, read what grooming actually is, for the love of fuck. I think these people really need to actually have some college education and know what the terms mean before just throwing shit around like that. You can't just go on the internet and say words and expect people to understand you or know what the fuck you're talking about, especially when you have such a bad understanding of what this thing actually is.
Oh, let me interject right quick here, because speaking of defining the terms and what they mean, this is apparently there's been some linguistic shift in my understanding of a word. And back in the day, the word feral, as used in the furry community, meant my fursona is an on all fours animal shaped fursona. But other than that, they're an ordinary furry. They're still intelligent and they're still have features of their species and stuff like that. But apparently, nowadays, the word feral has drifted to mean an actual animal.
Except, like, it hasn't? Because, like, okay. People with quadruped fox fursonas are still around. And, like, people with pokasonas that are like, well, my pokasona is a fucking Sylveon or an Umbreon or whatever on. Well, they're still quadruped critters, but they've got, you know, cute little scars and talk and, you know, interact with each other. I mean, that's a valid fursona, but...
These unrealistic fursona standards.
Yeah. Min, what's keeping you from looking like this? Picture of, like, giant Arcanine. And so, like, yes, there has been drift in terms of, like, what people's primary conception of it is, but there's still people that, like, well, specifically, like, with dragons, like, even though they're dragons, people refer to them as feral personas because they're quadrupedal hexapods. The inclusion of Chakats and Tars on the, like, sus list also shows that people have lost their fucking mind when it comes to, like, pretty sus. Because, like, denying agency to a person with a Tar persona, that's just weird. Chakats date back to, what, the early 90s, Shiva?
Something like, I mean, I remember seeing them at least 1996, like, and they were well established before that.
I mean, Chakats Den from Bernard, is that Bernard Duve? Bernard Duve. Like, looking at the website, his website's still there, chakatsden.com.
Yep.
But the thing is, like, it's been going forever, and it's like, the last update was in 2017, the introduction to Chakats. Like, the last revise was 2014, but the introduction of it was in 2005, and I know that they've existed before that. And so, like, having Tars as part of furry is as old in the furry fandom as I am. Really, almost. It's so weird to have, like, this absolute staple, even if it's not super common, of the furry community be put to the, like, put to the vote. Because it's not like, should Flo ban the upload of feral not safe for work content? I mean, that's such a broad swath, and the fact that they also chose to include centaurs and Digimon and Pokemon and dragons and pony in that overarching question. Like, they put your persona's validity to public vote. And
yeah,
most people agreed. The 11.5% of the people said no. And most people said, yeah, sure, whatever. And that still seems, like, unfair. Like, how fucking dare you try to make this decision for me and say that I'm not welcome on your website? I mean, obviously, like, if you hadn't even heard of this website, you would have probably never used it, Shiva.
Probably.
Like, I doubt that you use many furry websites. You probably use as much as anyone else on this podcast.
I use FA. That's about it.
Yeah. And so, got that issue, and I would say that it's resolved and that they've made a policy, but now people are like, well, we need a new vote on Feral now that you've defined it, and now we need this and that. You know, fuck off. I don't care. You are welcome to tear each other apart.
Hey, Shiva, look at the image I just sent to the group Telegram.
Yep. I wrote that a long time ago.
Wow.
I happened to be scrolling, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yep, I wrote that a long time ago.
That's funny. Also, by the way, when I say, hey, Shiva, my phone thinks I'm saying, hey, Siri.
Nice. The only other thing that really got people's hackles up about Flo this week, after their public policy kerfluffle, is that at one point, one of their mods was like, well, you know, if the right-wingers haven't come in and hurt anybody, we're not going to ban them from our website. So one of the other features of Flo is that they have clubs, I think it's called, where it's just, like, it's various groups, and, like, some right-wingers had come in and set up shop with, like, conservatives or right-wing fur groups, and that got people screaming in the forums about it. And ultimately, they were like, well, if they're not going to do anything, we're not going to stop them. But the drumbeat got loud enough to forced them to recruit more mods, which was what they really, really, really needed, because apparently being run by, like, four people, with the fifth person being in, like, the hospital, and then they had this massive influx of users.
Yeah.
And so, like, shit was rapidly becoming completely unmanageable. But they brought in a bunch of mods, they made their update, that got handled pretty quickly. And that has basically been the week of furry life online. And according to this recording, that's like 50 goddamn minutes of discussion about a website that none of us plan to use. Cool. I mean, what do you guys think?
Oh, man, I feel like they really bit off more than they could chew. Like, you know, I feel like they bowed to the kind of bullying culture online, and, like, I'd say this is, like, a weird line to walk, right? Because, like, when some dog fucker or groomer gets run out of the fandom on Twitter or YouTube or something, I'm cool with that. You know, they've literally done something wrong and harmful in real life, and there's an actual victim involved. That's fine. But the same type of people that that form a righteous mob mentality in that case are the same type of people that will also mob go after the dumbest fucking things. And it's like, I hate to sound like a centrist, but I'm really not. But it feels like there should be someone should be around to be like, whoa there, this is not something worth making signs and protesting for. You know? Like, they're getting as righteously ragey about somebody drew a dragon fucking as people that are protesting Black Lives Matter. And, like, one is a real issue and matters and has an impact in the world, and one is fucking furry porn. And, like, figure out your fucking priorities, Jesus. And I think the mods, or the owners of the site, should have been mature enough to be like, okay, guys, chill the fuck out, all right? But I also think they should have taken a firmer stance of being like, no, we're not going to have right-wing assholes on our site, because that is a real fucking problem in the world right now.
I mean, they did eventually take that stance, but it took them a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, part of the problem is just the way that social media works these days. Like, we started seeing these those polls screen caps come out. And they're like, oh my god, FLO is voting on this now. And I asked, and a couple of other people asked their official Twitter account, like, guys, what the fuck are they doing? And they had to come out and say, this isn't an official poll being run by the mods. This is just people doing this on our forum. And, like, we don't have a way of knowing that on Twitter without actually going to the website and looking. And that is not how Twitter works. Twitter does not lend itself to fucking, not even deep research practices, but even did you read the article level skimming, as far as I'm going to research this issue before I comment on it.
Yeah.
And it just fed into this frenzy. It'd be like, oh my god, they're banning My Little Pony. And yeah, it's just bad, and they needed more people, and now I know that if I'm ever starting a fucking art gallery community furry site like this, the first fucking thing I have to do is get, like, a shitload of mods, because apparently that's what you need more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think I've said this before, is that, like, people react like this on Twitter because this is something they feel they can have power over. Like, we all stare at the hell world that we live in, and short of taking up arms against the state, there's not a lot that we're going to be able to do, right? Like, people are going out and protesting, people going out doing this, that, and the other. But ultimately, like, the government's gonna government, and there's not a lot we can do except vote in November and hope that it's not too much fucked with. But this is, like, a way that they feel a modicum of control over their world is trying to force, in this case, a furry website to conform to their views. It's why people like to stay up late. They have very busy lives where they have, like, you know, I've got to wake up, I got to go to school, I got to work, I got to cook dinner, and I'm going to stay up late and play video games because that is what people do. They have a modicum of control over their lives. And in a world that doesn't have furry cons, doesn't have fur meets, doesn't have going out and doing shit, being incredibly terminally online is how these people try to get a sense of control in the world, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I can't control anything else, so let me do what I can.
Yeah, like, I'm going to say, this is bad, and I'm going to rally people to it and be the hero. Or I'm going to run this person off Twitter. Or I'm going to make this website listen to my demands of what we should ban next. And it's a very human thing to do, to want to have control over your environment. But in a lot of cases, it's very destructive because you're spending energy on other people in a negative fashion. Like, I can see these people and I could react, or I could just be like, huh, and block them. One of those two things spends, like, zero energy and is ultimately much healthier. Like, if there's something I don't want to see, or if I see someone being a shithead on Twitter.com in my presence or on a feed or, like, replying in a real shitty fashion to somebody, I'm just gonna fucking block them. I don't want to see it.
Well, also, we're older now. We've had the young, angry 20 years, and we've gotten so that we've run out of our emotional juice, and we've realized that we can throw ourselves against this and it's not going to make any difference. You're basically shouting at the void. So we have learned where to husband our energy. And I mean, back when we were teenagers, you know, or early 20s, and we had all that fire and brimstone to spend, I mean, it took us a while to kind of build up the jadedness, for lack of a better term.
And it's not to dissuade people trying to, like, change things for the better, but it's just a matter of picking your fucking battles, too. What are you going to obsess over? What, like, are you really going to spend all of your time on Twitter.com trying to, like, dox people or getting into fights? I want to just fucking, like, post about things I enjoy and, like, cute pictures of Adam. But yeah, that is really a function of being an older furry, that we've all been through this type of discourse over and over and over. I saw a tweet today that was retweeted by Tilton. It's like, I remember back in the day, the most heinous thing in the fandom was being a plushophile. And I was
wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was way back in the day. Because my first major furry discourse with big quotation fingers was baby furs. And then, like, the tail end of the burned furs. And this was in the context of, like, the Christian furry community being burned fur adjacent for some reason, because the burned fur movement was intensely homophobic. And so, like, that was my first discourse. And we've just seen cycles and cycles and cycles over the years. So, like, oh, this again? Haha, that's not novel anymore. But for these younger furries, this is their first rodeo, and they're real excited to ride that bull, but only in a non-sexual fashion.
The bull consented.
And yeah, I understand also that most of the listeners to this podcast and most of the people in the fan chat skew older. Like, I ran a short poll today, didn't get a ton of feedback on it, but like, of the active users that replied, only 17% of our users in the group are under 25, with 22% being under 30, and then the remaining amount being over 30, with 17% of us being over 40. So we are very much a gray muzzle group and a gray muzzle podcast. So, like, our particular points of view are not going to be super mainstream for people 20 years younger than us. And that's okay. Ultimately, like, it's fine if people don't like this opinion, and it's fine if people don't like us, but as jaded old ass furries, that's just how it is to us. What do you think, Shiva? I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No, you pretty much, I had wrapped up my thought, but getting older, I mean, you see this in all walks of life. It's not just furry. It, in general, like, the older you get in your late, you know, 30s, 40s, it's like, you've been there, you've done that, you've wasted your energy. And frankly, you're emotionally tired. You've had that battle over and over and over again. And yeah.
I updated my Twitter bio to include nearly 40, queer, and tired. Because that really is how it is.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, 37, I'm just going to lean into it. Like, I'm nearly 40. I'm too old for this shit in so many ways. Like, I still love furry art and furry fandom. And furry literature and furry stories and doing the audiobooks and all that shit. But man, I am super fine with not easily relating to people more than 10 years younger than me. I would much prefer furries around my age. And that's really what my social circle is.
Well, we've also all grown up together. I mean, a lot of our social circle have known each other for decades now.
Yeah. I was attending your furry parties at Akon, Shiva.
Way back in the day.
With Guardian.
Yes.
Way back in the day. So that's really it. Like, that's flow. That's kind of Gray Muzzle Corner, right?
We should make a club on flow called Gray Muzzle Corner.
Yep, where we talk about them dang kids.
They're not going to take my Pokemon away.
Yeah, well, I also made sure to commission some very transgressive porn from an artist that had recently had some, like, money issues. And they were like, yeah, I'm down for that, so... That was some
furry what?
Some transgressive furry porn.
What's that?
Furry porn. Morally questionable.
That's transgressive.
Okay.
Yeah, he might be breaking the spine line.
Oh no. What if you're getting high and fucking a Pokemon at the same time?
Jesus does not approve of this.
God, that reminds me. I saw that one image where it's like did you consent? Is there someone you forgot to ask? And it's like a human Red 13 from Final Fantasy VII, and then Jesus.
Yeah.
I consent. I don't. God. Can't believe we spent an hour talking about this. All right, so moving on to some other silly topics.
Hey, this animation of Tadano and Haida blowing each other is pretty hot.
Cool, yeah. Agrazuga Season 3 came out, so I haven't had a chance to watch it, but, you know, there's fresh art of characters, and, like, I saw some really cute art of, like, both Retsuko and Finico, like, lusting after the unicorn guy in VR.
It's so cute. There's so many cute moments in it.
So, Vic Lasagna got back in Twitterverse briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, I'm going to have a Funko Pop made of me, featuring 10 of the characters that I've played over the years. Here's the prototype. It's all ready to go, so if you like it, please let Funko know. So basically, he was trying to weaponize his fan base to get them to, harass Funko into making his Funko Pop character that features, apparently, 10 different characters that he has voiced over the years. The problem with it is that, well, it looks like a huge fucking kludge. It has, like, the scythe from Crow, from Ruby. It has the red, half of Red Cloak and the metal arm from Ed, from Full Metal Alchemist. A gun, for some reason. A purple jacket of some sort. Broly's belt, green belt thing. And, like, a crown or something. So, first of all, he made a prototype and was going to get his fan base to pester Funko about it. Second of all, 10 fucking licenses that you've combined with your horrible soulless anime figure? How expensive do you want this thing to be? And it got to the point where people had emailed Funko directly, and Funko support said, thank you so much for the info. You've been super helpful in getting to the bottom of this, and our larger teams are aware. We are not in talks with Vic, and this is definitely a custom figure that Funko has not had any part of. Best Funko support. And then they actually had to tweet about it because people were bothering them. And it's like, we are not in any conversations with Vic Lasagna on creating a figure of him. This figure is not a Funko Pop. Official announcements are posted on our social channels and on our website. And that's the depths that they were trying to, like, wish it into being. Like, if we say it enough and bother Funko enough, they'll jump through the licensing hoops required to get a 10-license character made. So, needless to say, that was a pretty funny thing that was just like, 2020's been chaotic, but I don't think anything will top the weirdness of Vic Lasagna commissioning a custom pop of himself in hopes that Funko would make it official.
He's just grasping at straws at this point. Like, he's probably lost a lot of his sources of income.
He's lost pretty much all of them, and, like, he's on the hook for something on the tune of $400,000 at this point, so there's that. So he's looking to make money every chance he can, but he's really burned every possible bridge. So moving on from this, on the COVID front, unfortunately, The Rock and his entire family had tested positive for the coronavirus. Apparently they had someone visit them and spread it to all of them. And Fuzz, what was the comment that you saw on Twitter?
The comment was, The Rock knew he was sick when he couldn't smell what he was cooking.
Very good. And that's a bummer. Hope they make it through it okay, because, like, The Rock seems to be a pretty cool actor in all things considered. So
last I heard, his wife and kids were clear. I hadn't heard anything about his personal status, but his wife and kids were safe.
Well, that's good. I mean, the thing is, like, for a burly-ass muscle man actor, like, the fact that this disease can wreck your health after for quite a time, including, like, cause heart damage and, like, heart infections, that could be extremely bad for his acting ability.
Or even his ability to maintain, like, his physique, which I know he takes pride and joy in.
Yeah, that would suck for him, because, like, his whole family line has been, like, wrestlers and entertainers, so, like, they're all big muscle manly men, and that would, that'd be a real bummer.
Yeah. He also seems like just a decent guy in real life from everything I've heard of him, you know?
That sucks, but, like, it's in the news because, oh my god, this famous person got COVID.
Yeah.
I don't think just famous person, also incredibly healthy, robust
Yeah.
person. Like, he's, you know, fit as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of those people that's like, even though he's in his, I think, 50s at this point, he's in like
48.
Peak physical condition.
Yeah.
I know that because it's like, wow, he's not that much older than me, but wow, he's older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though, actually, on a massive fucking bummer thing earlier this week, and a massive fuck cancer, too.
Died
of colon cancer, which had been completely under wraps by everybody.
I have seen so many tear-jerking, like, things that have made me very weepy art come out of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a fucking bummer because, like, as an actor, he was a good-ass actor in, like, everything he'd done. Minus the cancer, he would have gone on to be a great actor in, the like, the canon of American film. He was, like, what, 43?
Yeah. He was a hero to so many right now, you know, especially in the POC community. Like, this was their idol. And now just to have that taken away.
Just amazed that he made all of those really demanding, really physical movies while being treated for colon cancer. And I'm just like, God damn, I'm such a wimp by comparison. You know, if I was diagnosed with colon cancer, I'd be like, put me on disability at my job and just let me lay in bed until I get better. But this dude was fucking like kickboxing and shit. I mean,
yeah, according unreal. To one of the interviews, he had bulked up for Black Panther, slimmed down to play Jackie Robinson in 42, the film about Jackie Robinson's life, and then bulked back up to do Black Panther 2. So, like, in addition to undergoing chemo, he was bulking and then cutting and then filming and then bulking back up again. Like, this dude was super fucking human until he wasn't, unfortunately. It was really wild after the fact, like, to know this and hear about it when prior to this he kept it completely under wraps. Nobody knew in the public. Like, there was a video clip where it was like him answering letters of kids who were in cancer care who wanted to see Black Panther because they couldn't go to the movie theaters and or something like that, and like not letting it slip. Oh yeah, I'm dealing with this too. He was just
but like seeing it on his face and hearing it in his voice as he was discussing it. And it was just and now looking back on it with the knowledge that we have, it's just like, yeah, that's basically it. Fuck.
Super fucking sad. Like, damn you, 2020. You know, it's cliche at this point, but it's just a,
like, you take Chadwick Boseman, but not Trump. I mean, what the fuck?
How the fuck is Harry Kissinger still alive?
There's no justice in this world.
Someone find his goddamn soul stone and crunch it, please. Because, yeah. The other thing, though, is like, man, Americans are still not treating this COVID shit seriously. The Minion Death Cult podcast, which is a podcast that talks about Facebook boomers and their insanity. Basically, it's like Insane People of Facebook, the podcast. It has a bit of
crossover. That must be fun.
With like the QAnon Anonymous type, where it was like they also talk about like conspiracy theorists, anti-vaxxers, New Age woo, stuff like that. In this particular case, it's just a public posting on Facebook about a guy who got COVID. I have really backed off my public stance on COVID recently, but after the last couple weeks, I think one more rant is acceptable. 2 weeks ago, I was a confirmed COVID case and it sucked. Sick to my stomach, hard time sleeping, aches and all that. 1 week ago, I was rushed to the ER and then taken by ambulance to the University of Utah Respiratory ICU. My oxygen was so low that I almost died, almost went on life support, and almost sent my kids through life without a dad. But I've always been resilient, and a week later I am back home working and loving life. I beat a little harder to breathe nowadays. You have lung damage, dude. Having almost died, I stand by my assertion that COVID is being blown out of proportion to serve a higher greed. Masks are stupid, and so is social distancing. If you're at risk, take care of yourself, but don't give up a good life because someone else tells you to be afraid.
Man.
And then there's a picture of the dude. He's like some tatted up 30-year-old with fucking oxygen tubes in his nose. But COVID's being blown out of proportion and masks are for losers. USA. USA. Remember, everybody, the United States is pretty much the only developed country in the world still fucking dealing with this. Europe got their shit handled a lot better than we did. China is having fucking pool parties in Wuhan.
Oh, darn it.
Like, there was a big news because they successfully managed their shit by going into hard lockdown in China that now, 7 months after the start of this, they're able to have large public gathering and events because they did heavy contact tracing and home quarantines and provided for their people. And here we are, 7 months later, we got $1,200, maybe, and that's it. Go fuck yourself. And we have Americans being like, I nearly fucking died and I have lung damage, but COVID's being blown out of proportion in mass.
And don't wear a fucking mask, you know.
I really can't see ever saying it's a little harder to breathe now, like it was nothing, you know, like just it is what it is. Fucking galaxy brain.
Yeah, so Americans, what the fuck? We're still in the we've kind of progressed. You know, Onion had a headline where it was like Dallas moves on to stage four, ignoring COVID still happening.
Yeah.
That's really the case, man. That was just like the peak of the insanity that we've seen here. It's nuts. Like, I nearly died, but what can you do, lol. The other scary thing, though, is like I saw some tweets where it's like the CDC has told states to be prepared to distribute a vaccine in October. And it's like, is it going to be bleach in a syringe? Not a chance in hell that I'm taking any rush-through vaccine, especially from this government. Like, there's been no proven vaccine shown anywhere on this goddamn planet. The United States has said, no, we're not going to help it, the World Health Organization, because they're cucks. And anything that we get might just be like liquid hydroxychloroquine, which literally was proven to make you more likely to die if you took it. So that is something that we get to look forward to in the next 2 months to the election. Very exciting times coming, children.
So, speaking of COVID, Tyrion really depressed me today by telling me some new stuff that scientists have apparently learned about COVID, that it attacks this particular type of cell that is used in muscles, primarily in your heart and also in your intestines. So even a mild asymptomatic case of COVID can leave you with lifelong minor heart damage, which as you age and add comorbidities is going to get worse. The other thing it does is it breaks down this particular type of cell that is that keeps your blood in your veins. So people are having like their arteries are bleeding.
Leaking,
yeah. And this is the reason why younger people that get it are having strokes, because this is breaching the blood-brain barrier. So to get blood in their brain where it's not supposed to be, and they either have a stroke or they're left with some kind of permanent brain damage.
Fuck.
Yeah, like this just gets worse and worse. So this is going to be, COVID is a comorbidity, you know, this is going to be a lifelong thing that it's going to be like, have you had COVID? Okay, we have to put that on your chart because there are certain things we have to consider for the rest of your life.
It's like polio all over again.
Yeah, you know, this will fuck you up in any of 800 different ways. And it appears to affect people in such different ways. The symptoms are all different, you know, for the long-term shit. But that's also the reason why people are like, they get a minor case, but they take like 6 months to heal. It's because it's literally damaged your heart. And your body is just like, what the fuck? You know, as it tries to recover from that. And, oh, and something else he was saying, like the way it affects people's lungs in particular, it basically turns your lungs to jello, which is why a lot of the time when they put people on a respirator, it's kind of a crapshoot as to whether they live or not. Because, yeah, you could pump oxygen into people's lungs all day long, but if their lungs have literally turned into jello and mush, it's not going to help them.
It's like if the cilia are all dead, you're still out of luck. You can't get the oxygen from the air into your bloodstream.
Right. And if you do, your bloodstream's just going to leak it out all over your body anyway.
Yeah, and like the whole causing a weakness in the blood vessels is also like, that's one of the things that's that, God, my brain's like, the deadly Mutaba virus. But no, the one from Congo that we had a scare about a few years ago.
Was it hantavirus?
Ebola, yeah, Ebola.
Ebola, you're right, yeah.
And so, like, great. It has this aspect that, of stuff that it does. That's very cool. Fantastic.
And all of this, all of it, is it loops back to kind of the same cause of SARS, like, a couple years ago. And it's kind of where China brought weird animals that would never have come across each other in the wild, in close proximity to each other. Some caught it from one thing to another, and then humans got it, and it's, you know, learned from each jump.
Yeah, a lot of it is, like factory farming in that country. And, well, factory farming
No, it's called, not wild meat.
Bushmeat?
Bushmeat. And it's basically, it's not even, like, factory. It's, like, capturing live animals from the land, not farm, but, you know, from the wilds. You capture them, you bring them in, and they end up, like, going to huge markets. And it's where you start tangenting two species. You know, one species has a virus, which they've adapted to, and they're fine with it. And they come into proximity with an animal from, like, the other side of, like, another continent, another country. Like, there's usually thousands of miles apart from each other. They'll never have come into contact with each other, except humans brought them both together to eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it jumps to the pangolins, and it adapts, and then it jumps from the pangolins to the humans. And now we have a whole new thing that we've never had to deal with before.
I mean, and incidentally, pangolins are one of the big things being trafficked to China from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, okay. And it's all because the Chinese can't stop eating pangolins. Or grinding them up or whatever they... I don't know what they actually do with pangolins, but I know that it's part of the big illegal trade.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, what illegal shit can we get up to? Eating pangolins. Good job, guys. Great.
Which are already endangered, and you shouldn't be doing anyways, but here we are.
Yep. I think one last thing before... Oh, what was that?
I was going to throw in this topic that I just learned about. The Atlantic posted an article about comments that Trump apparently made in 2018, where he didn't want to visit a cemetery in France that had American war dead in it. His primary reason was that he feared his hair would become disheveled in the rain, but he also said, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers.
Yeah. Let me find the article, because the thread, because somebody went and compiled a lot of statements.
Kyle Griffin on Twitter has tweeted some of them. Of course, I hate that the Twitter website, like, changes the options that are available depending on the view. So you have to go to a specific way to look at a tweet in order to get the fucking copy link option. Anyway. There, I linked one of the tweets I saw.
So hopefully it should be read. Let's see.
Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Bellwood as suckers for getting killed. And that was a battle in World War I in June of 1918.
The thing is if this plays out, you know, how many times has he been caught recorded saying horrible things? Not just like, hey, hearsay, you know, there's been actual verbal proof of the man saying shit, and the rights don't care. Like,
yeah.
It's like, eh, who cares?
He is apparently losing the military, though.
Yeah, the military needs his guts, and he kind of needs that if he wants to stay in power as a dictator. But yeah, he's called... He called John McCain a fucking loser when asked to lower flags to half staff. Called President George H.W. Bush a loser for being shot down during World War II.
On the tangent of things in the military. You heard that there was an eighth death down at Fort Hood?
Oh, man. Fort Hood has, like, a serial killer problem.
Yeah, I think that this was someone drowned in a lake this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, there was an eighth. That's eight people who've died at Fort Hood since March.
Yeah, there's a serial killer working out of Fort Hood. And the one prior to this was a young woman, I believe, who went missing for several days. And they were like, oh, she's just missing. And then people were like, if I'm 5 minutes late from standing at attention, I get in major fucking trouble. So very clearly there is something afoot. So yeah, like that was... I did see that, Shiva, but I don't have, like, the details.
No, I saw an article come through, so it's like I caught my attention because it's the eighth. I'd heard of, like, one of that gal, and then there was something from a year before or some earlier. I hadn't paid it close. And then I saw an eighth person.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, eight since March? Holy shit.
I mean,
so apparently it's 26 this year. I just found another article that
26?
Yeah. 26? So, yeah, accidents, 8 accidents, 6 suicides, 5 homicides, 5 undetermined, 2 illnesses. So,
I wonder what the average is. I mean, there's got to be a couple deaths a year. There's a lot of people at Fort Hood.
Well, this is what actually has a screen cap. So we're at 26 for 2020, 38 in 2019, 28 in 2018, 29 in 2017, 37 in 2016. So it looks kind of average, I guess.
Huh. But still, like, 5 murders? That seems a little out of pace, but, I mean, the fuck do I know? It's just...
Yeah, I don't know.
We're paying attention to Fort Hood because there's been a lot of mysterious, like, again, 5 are still unknown, 5 are killed in homicides... 8 in some kind of accident. Well, I mean, I don't know if any of those were, like, mysterious or dude got drunk and flipped a Jeep. Who knows? But, yeah. Fort Hood. It's not.
I don't know how this compares to other military bases. I guess we read this article and find out. Yeah, it says here, March 1st, Shelby Jones was shot at a strip club in Killeen and died later at a convenience store. Like, Jesus, it's weird.
Yeah. So, anyways, guys, we're past 90 minutes on the raw recording here, and we should probably wrap it up because it's also past 10 o'clock at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But it has been good to have you all both here. We're still here as a podcast. Yay! Because,
you know, I'm just working a fuck ton of hours lately, and by the time I get done, either you guys have already started or I am a fucking potato.
Yeah, and, like, you've got all your ongoing health bullshit. And, I mean, that's understandable. I'm glad you're able to join us this week, though.
And then other weeks, Saverin and I have just been like, fuck it.
Like, last week's podcast was, like, the first one in nearly a month.
Because we're all tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if Flo hadn't had their big meltdown, there wouldn't have been a ton to talk about this week that wasn't just, like, Jesus, fuck, we hate Donald Trump, Jesus, fuck, COVID. And,
yeah.
Oh, shit, Chadwick Boseman died. Right? So, like, at least... Thank you, Flo, for fucking up in an amusing way to give us content this week.
Yeah.
So, on that note, you can find the podcast online on Apple, etc., on Google Play, at SouthPawsCast. You can find us on Twitter, at SouthPawsCast. You can email the show, SouthPawsCast@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Saverin Drake, where I haven't yet gotten banned, and I will post lots of pictures of Adam. He has very much enjoyed me learning to cook steak this past week.
Pictures and videos have been very cute.
You've been feeding Panther steaks?
Yes. It was his birthday last week, and...
Oh, that's right.
His mom sent us some very expensive steaks. The first one I kind of fucked up, so he bought some less expensive ones to... practice on, and we're going to cook the other one here probably tomorrow. I didn't fuck it up, but it came a little bit closer to medium well than we would have liked.
And if it's an expensive steak, you know.
Yeah. These were some very expensive, but they're also like 18-ounce steaks, and she sent us 2 of them.
Nice.
Like, the steaks that we got, we've just been cutting in half because, like, otherwise, they're not one-person steaks. Anyways, yeah, I've been practicing my cooking for him.
So, rather than going on about my Twitter, I'm going to throw out that this weekend, normally we would have been at MEF at Fermi in Mississippi because it's Labor Day weekend. Since we are not, we're running a 10% off everything sale on forplanet.com. The coupon code is MEPHET, M-E-P-H-E-T. So just enter that at checkout. Save 10% off on your order. I got a big restock order in that I've been waiting on. So I have a lot of stuff like Kyle and Ruka's books back in stock that I'd been out of for a little bit. And, of course, we have Kyle's new book, Love Match Volume 3 is out. So basically, just if you want to support me, go to forplanet.com and follow forplanet on Twitter. And we just added a dozen new books to baddogbooks.com also, if you like ebooks. So over to you, Shiva.
I mean, there's not much for me to say. I mean, you can join the fan chat. You can join the fan chat and say hi. Other than that, I mean, I've mostly just... I'll be back on the podcast when I can, but until my work schedule, like, settles down, I don't know how that's going to be.
Yeah.
And really, like, we're doing them as we can right now, because, like, again, some weeks, just not much to talk about other than the horrible shit we're dealing with.
It's kind of repetitive, because then we're just, like, we're just doom spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so, on that note, guys, good night.
And big books.